Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, new customers, when you sign up using promo code DNVR, you can make a $5 NBA moneyline bet. And when your team wins, you're going to get $200 in free bets with code DNVR only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I'm Susie Hunter, kind of cruising on my one victory this season, predicting the correct AL Rookie of the Year.
You did. Award season starts off with a bang and in a good way because
I love, you know, award season.
We missed the mark entirely, but you nailed it. We'll talk about the Rookie of the Year award winners today. The Rockies have themselves a new Hall of Famer, a legit one this time. We'll talk about what's going on with Yasiel Puig, what previously had happened to Tony La Russa. Susie, you're going to be very interested on that.
Okay.
And there's some cool ballpark updates from around the globe, but we should start with Rookie of the Year award voting. Susie X Hunter won. She predicted it. Julio Rodriguez. Susie, go ahead and take that victory lap because you nailed it. J-Rod got it done.
You know what? I called it, but I'm so happy he had such an exciting rookie year. And yeah, that was my only good prediction because the rest of my predictions were like comically awful.
I don't think they were that bad. No.
The two managers I picked for manager of the year were the first two to get fired.
Okay. Those, yes, that's the exact opposite. Right, that's the exact opposite of manager of the year. It's like, doesn't even have a job of the year. Mm-hmm. By a manager, that could be an award. That's the Susie Hunter Award. Who are the first two managers to get fired?
We will do when we do our predictions next year. We will fold those in. Who is the first man? Who will be the first manager to get fired?
I do like that. That's a good spin. Well, our predictions were pretty much like on par. I thought we were kind of neck and neck, but you did nail it. Julio Rodriguez, fantastic season with the Mariners. I think he could even be a top five MVP candidate this year. We'll sort of see. Hit 284, 28 homers, 75 RBI, 25 stolen bases, goes 25-25 in power and speed. Only the third rookie in Major League history to ever do that. And the first player to do it in his debut season, started right there on opening day. Yeah. That's impressive.
That is impressive. Wow. Just so much history happening around us.
Yeah, he was an all-star this year. He was kind of the highlight of the home run derby competition. Mm-hmm. It sort of peaked with his first round and then kind of tailed off a little bit after that, but he was all the excitement. Silver Slugger award winner there. He was at top of just about every category as far as the rookie leaders are concerned. And going back to what I was saying about MVP, he was so valuable to Seattle when he was healthy, they won games.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, they were 75 and 56 when he was in the lineup, and 15 and 16. So they were under 500 when he wasn't in the game for those 31 contests.
That's an MVP stat right there.
It really is. Yeah, he also became the fastest player in Major League history, did in only 125 games to reach 25 homers and 25 stolen bases. Did it three quicker than Mr. Mike Trout.
Wow.
We've got maybe
if you're beating Mike Trout at something, you're in good shape right there.
Yeah. And we're not even talking about the Mike Trout now, who's, you know, 30 years old. He's been banged up a little bit, had a really good year this year, but mm-hmm. we're talking about prime time Mike Trout right at the start of his career. So when you're doing it in that way, you're right. That's incredibly impressive. Mm-hmm. I would agree with you on that. He receives 29 of 30 votes somehow for some reason. There was a voter who had Adley Rutschman as first, had J-Rod as second. Find that interesting because there were actually two voters in the American League, as far as the BBWAA, who didn't even put Adley Rutschman on their ballot. Probably might have been a fourth place, mm-hmm. but I find that to be a bit egregious. The thing we were all waiting for was, would it be unanimous or not? I'm really surprised that it was not unanimous.
But so close to unanimous. So close.
Yeah. Just the one guy had that. Not great. That's always the worst thing. That's the thing that I will most certainly fear when that time comes.
When you're participating in the voting.
That's it. I mean, I got to vote where my heart goes. But, you know, it's not the end of the world to miss on that. But, you know, it does become a story for a period of time. We'll actually have tomorrow's guest on Wednesday. We will have on a National League Rookie of the Year Award voter from the BBWAA. So very excited.
Who's tomorrow's guest?
You're going to have to watch. It's one of 30 voters. One of 30. Go to the website.
That's huge.
Try to pinpoint that down. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds good.
J-Rod was the only player to be named on every ballot. Eighth center fielder in the American League history to win the award. Last one was his teammate with the Mariners, Kyle Lewis. In 2020, Mike Trout won it. In 2012, Carlos Beltran, Fred Lynn, Tommy Agee, Bob Allison, and Albie Pearson. So some familiar names and some less familiar names. Mm-hmm. I will admit, Susie, because I don't know everything, and I don't claim to.
Are we sure about
that? I had never heard of Albie Pearson. So I thought, you know what? Let's learn a little bit about Albie Pearson.
Let's get into it. Wait, he was a short king.
He was very much a short king.
He was the OG short king.
140 pounds, won the Rookie of the Year Award in the American League in 1958 in the original iteration of the Washington Senators before they moved to Minnesota. What I found, a couple crazy things about his life, mm-hmm. he was traded 2 months into his second season. So he wins the Rookie of the Year Award, and then at the end of May of the next year, just traded. That's strange.
That sounds like something the Rockies would do.
Oh, easy now.
They would never. This is amazing.
Yeah, he was a one-time All-Star. So, you know, he had a decent career, but was only an All-Star once in 1963. That year, he actually started over Mickey Mantle, who apparently was slumping. So they went with Albie Pearson. Had I gone to that game, I probably would have been a little bit bummed. Look, let's face it. The All-Star game is, you know, partially about, hey, what have you done for me lately? But when you're talking about all-time legends, put the all-time legends in the game, even if they don't deserve it. How do you feel about that?
Listen, hindsight is 20/20. If you're having a good season, you might be the next legend. So yeah, you got to put them in.
Yeah,
that's true. You don't know until it all plays out.
Are you someone who really feels it should just be like, just show me the numbers and let's pick the guy that way? Or is it a balance of like, you know what, this guy's still playing well, but I mean, he's a two-time MVP. Let's put him in. And you know what? Somebody that might be a little bit more deserving gets snubbed. Which side of the fence do you sit on for that?
You know, it's a little bit of a balance, but I kind of want to lean towards the numbers right now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, that's absolutely fair.
Because you don't know who the next legend's going to be. I don't know. Baseball's crazy.
Baseball's crazy like that.
Baseball's crazy. We know that. We talk about it all the time.
After his playing career in 1997. So he's still alive.
Yeah.
He's 88 years old and 63 days. 132nd oldest living ball player. And yes, I do have sources for that, that track the top 500 oldest ball players that are still alive.
Oh my gosh. We got to get, first of all, we have to get him on the pod. Who is the shortest baseball player of all time? Because 5'5 seems small to me.
So I believe his name, I'm not sure what his height is. I know his name is Eddie Goodell, who was a short person who played for the St. Louis Browns. It was somewhat of a publicity stunt by Bill Veeck, who has a book called Veeck as in wreck, even though it's pronounced like Veek, but he did a lot of crazy promotions, Demolition Disco Night.
This is a 3'7" man we're talking about.
Yes. And he was told when he went up to the plate to not lift the bat off of his shoulders, because if he did, there were snipers on the roof of the stadium aimed at him. Basically, again, it was a publicity stunt to say, just go up there, take a 4-pitch walk. He got his 4-pitch walk, went to first base, and that was the last we heard of Eddie Goodell. And then immediately thereafter, the rules had to be changed to say, you can't just have a guy for like a day. You got to put him on the 40-man roster. You got to give him, you know, you got to salary him, all this stuff. So,
who's the shortest man who's been on a 40-man roster? The probably.
That's a great question. Could be Jose Altuve. It could be. Outside of Eddie Goodell.
Is he 5'5", or is he shorter? How tall? I know he's a tiny man, but it's kind of hard to tell because he works around a lot of tall people.
This is true.
Altuve's 5'6".
Yeah.
So.
Allegedly.
He's taller than 5'5".
And that could be bumped up 2 inches. You never know.
That could be bumped up a little bit. That's true.
For sure. But. Albie Pearson, good guy. In 1997, he and his wife sold their home to found Father's Heart Ranch in Desert Hot Springs, California, an 11-acre home for abused, neglected, and abandoned 6 to 12-year-old boys. Good dude, Albie Pearson.
Wow. That's
so I learned something.
Nice.
We all did.
We're all just, look at us out here learning stuff.
You forcibly learned something.
You got I like to call it getting learnt. It's like getting turnt, but you're learning something.
Wow. Would I have done learnted people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I'm a former teacher, so it makes sense I would have done learnted people. We also learned on Monday, Michael Harris II edges out teammate Spencer Strider for the National League Rookie of the Year Award. This is the fourth time in National League history two teammates have been 1-2 in the voting. We kind of expected it, but it was close as I thought. Actually, I really thought it would be, you know, just a matter of points. But as it were, Michael Harris ends up winning. The last set of teammates to win it were also from Atlanta: Craig Kimbrell and Freddie Freeman in 2011, 1989, Jerome Walton and Dwight Smith, two outfielders for the Cubs, and then in 1957, two players I also had not heard of, but did not dig into even further because I know Susie will know everything about them: Jack Sanford and Bucci of the Philadelphia Phillies. What's your favorite Bucci fact or Jack Sanford fact?
You know what? A fun fact is that they both loved the city of Philadelphia. No, I actually don't know anything about these guys, but I'm looking them up right now.
Jack Sanford's name does look vaguely familiar, but I think his name just reminds me of someone else. But no, I don't know these folks. I think Ed Bucci might have been a first baseman, and Jack Sanford was a possibly a pitcher. But Harris, 297 this year.
Jack Sanford was a pitcher. Yes, correct.
Nice. Harris II batted .297 with 19 homers, 64 RBI, 20 stolen bases. So he was just shy of 2020. In fact, he didn't make his debut until May 28th. So he could have been right alongside J-Rod there in the American League with going 25-25 in homers in stolen bases. It's one of the disappointments in getting called up late in the year. It's actually the ninth time Atlanta has won the Rookie of the Year award. Ronald Acuna Jr. in 2018 was the most recent.
I have learned some very unfortunate facts about Ed Bucci. So the headline I saw, Phillies Ed Bucci returns to baseball after arrest. Apparently in Spokane, he was arrested on charges of exposing himself to young girls. So he's not our dude. I don't claim him.
Okay. You might want to look up Jack Sanford before you claim him, but Ed Bucci, you're on the outs.
I'm not claiming either of them. Like, what a problem. That is so gross.
Yeah, it obviously inappropriate. He was second that year, so that's good that he doesn't have the little Rookie of the Year award plaque. Hopefully, Jack Sanford, slightly nicer than that.
This is very, very upsetting information. I did not expect to go down this rabbit hole this morning, but here we are.
We have in the American League and National League, both center fielders won the award last time that has happened, 2012, with Bryce Harper and Mike Trout in the American League. Another mention for him. As we say tomorrow.
Dudes. Great dudes. Yeah. I imagine if they were both on the Phillies together in that outfield.
Very true. Yeah. Yeah. Mike Trout's a Philly boy.
What if?
Yeah. Very true. Now,
right, continue your thought.
Well, the Rockies have only had one Rookie of the Year award winner. Unfortunately, they've had a lot of votes, but 2002, Jason Jennings, won the award. The year prior, in 2001, he made his debut. He threw a 3-hit shutout in New York at Shea Stadium against the Mets. And he also homered in that game. One of the greatest debuts in Rockies history. One of the greatest debuts just period, I think, in baseball history.
Yeah, that's just not something we'll see anymore.
Exactly. Very true.
He was basically like an Ohtani for the day.
He was. Jason Jennings. That's it. He was the dude there. Second place finishes for Todd Helton in 98, Troy Tulowitzki in 2007. People still reeling over that Ryan Braun decision in 2007 because Tula was very much worthy of it. And again, he at least led his team into the postseason, whereas Ryan Braun didn't. A couple guys with fourth place finishes, Aaron Miles, Garrett Atkins, Willian Rosario, who had 28 homers in 2012 to lead all rookies. Trevor Story with his 27 home runs in 2016, second among rookies, probably could have had most had his season not been ended early. And then others receiving a vote. There's 20 total who've received a vote. Yeah, we're just going to name some names, and that will bring back some memories, I think, for some people. Armando Reynoso in 93, Nafi Perez in 1997, Juan Pierre in 2000, Denny Stark in 2003, Matt Holliday in 2004. In 2005, joining Garrett Atkins was Jeff Francis and Clint Barmison getting votes. 2009, Dexter Fowler, Jordan Pacheco in 2012, Nolan Arenado 2013, John Gray 2016, and the last time any Rockies have ever received a vote in the Rookie of the Year award voting, Herman Marquez and Kyle Freeland, both in 2017.
2017, that was a fun year.
It was a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this would have to be the longest drought that they've had between.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, definitely is.
We're in dark times right now.
Well, we got Bouchard and Ezekiel Tovar to snap that. Again, just need to get a third place vote to break this this bit of a drought. And again, you know, not winning the Rookie of the Year award doesn't mean you're not a good player, or not to get a vote doesn't necessarily mean all that much. But it could, in a way, you know, signify a little bit about your farm system and how you've been able to develop young players over the course of the last 5 years. And, you know, there's a reason why the team has been struggling essentially since then, and not finding those replacements.
Yeah.
But to get a vote in the NL Rookie of the Year award consideration. So all of these things kind of are somewhat related to one another. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. What does relate to one another is the DNVR bar. An amazing time and a life-changing time. Because we've got a big event on Thursday. I think the event's sold out, but you can get tickets if they're still available over at dnvrlocker.com if you're a member. If you're not, it's only 50 cents for your first month. If you want an annual membership, you do get a free shirt from dnvrlocker.com. But on Thursday, it's the Hockey Legends Night with LaCroix Hockey from 4 to 8 during the Avs and Canes game. If you don't have a ticket for that, we're not going to be open at that time inside the bar, because Milan Hayduk and Adam Foote, Avs legends, are going to be there. signing autographs, taking photographs, doing some amazing things. The tailgates on Sunday for the Raiders. And we're opening 9 o'clock every day starting on Sunday because the Global Chalice. It's soccer season, so it's time for that.
Yes, the Global Chalice. You know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. You know. Wink. You know. Wink.
You
the
know.
Big soccer thing.
If you know, you know.
That's it. The goalkeeper thing. That's it. The penalty kick party, if you will.
A penalty kick party. Wow. So creative, Patrick.
We've got, look, you got Global Chalice. So, I mean, that takes the cake. That's going to be on the top of all of our advertising. So I got to make up for some other catchphrases, if you will. But yeah, again, DNVR, thednvr.com. 50 cents for that membership. You get extra raffle tickets at all of our watch parties to win all kinds of free gear, access to our members only Discord. It's absolutely fantastic. Very similar to the fantasticness going down at Game Time Tickets. Their app is amazing. 50 million folks are using it. You can actually help us out by hitting the link in our description, either the podcast or live over on the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube. It's a great way to save yourself some money on some of the best events around. And even if it isn't a highly anticipated event, you can still get some great seats at up to 60% off, especially if you wait closer to the start of the event. I've done it before. Susie's done it. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And even if it is a highly anticipated type event, Taylor Swift at Mile High, or just a regular Rockies Yankees game on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Not Mile High. It's going to be a ball. Yeah.
Really? Intimate affair.
Yeah. Have you seen all of the tweets about Ticketmaster crashing for all the fans waiting to get in? They're all in line to buy tickets today. Today's the day. So if your Ticketmaster froze and you got kicked out and now you're having trouble getting tickets, like, I might be using this to get to Taylor Swift come July.
Coincidentally, I've been seeing like a lot of Ticketmaster stuff, just people getting absolutely fed up with them. So yeah, you're right. This is a great workaround for that at Game Time Tickets. The app's great, but use the link in our description to help us out so we get a little kickback on that. We do appreciate that. But if we're not talking about kickbacks, we're talking about kicking it out for a big three-pointer. That could be the difference in a game on the NBA. It's back, and so is DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. As you know, a $5 NBA moneyline bet is going to get you $200 in free bets if your team wins. When your team wins, they're going to win for you. You know what you're doing out there. Stepped up same game parlays also make it a little bit more exciting, especially since it can boost your winnings up to 100%. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR and make any $5 NBA moneyline bet this week, and you're going to get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook and only with promo code DNVR. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Sounds good, Patrick.
Yeah, it's a great deal. You definitely got to tap into that because the NBA is heating up.
Yes.
Also heating up, Vinny Castilla, new member, new Hall of Famer.
We have a new Hall of Famer. Mexico.
That's it. Hey, that counts for us.
I think it counts.
So Vinicio Castillo, as he is listed there in the Mexican Baseball Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. By the way, that is hands down the nicest museum ever. It's absolutely beautiful. I talked about it last offseason, and I was blown away when I saw images of that. But
have you been?
Never been. No.
Okay.
Been to Tijuana once, and we'll leave it at that. That's as far into Mexico as I've gone.
I think this needs to be a DNVR trip. We need to go to the Mexican Baseball Hall of Fame.
That's it. Now it's going to be a road trip. We'll drive down there. I think it's in Monterey. Drive down to Mexico. We'll have some stops along the way. We'll figure out some things. But they had to figure out some things because they elected Vinny, I believe, in 2020. And obviously because of all the pandemic stuff, you know, he didn't get a chance to go down there. So that finally went down. There's some images on the internet circulating. So we're super happy for our guy, Vinny, to finally have his moment in the sun. He's
love
great.
Vinny. Vinny's such a cool dude to have around. I love that we get to see him, you know, pretty much every day we're at the ballpark. Just like Hall of Fame personality. Love
and getting to pick his brain too, right? On all kinds of different things. You know, Crone goes 504 feet. All right, Vinny, what's the farthest home run you've ever seen? All right, you see that point out there? Mike Piazza hit one. I had never seen a ball hit out there before. And he just has all these wonderful stories. Mm-hmm. In fact, one this offseason, based on an interview I did with him, I asked him if you could have added anyone to the Blake Street Bombers. Like if the Rockies basically during that time or even now could have added someone as like the sixth bomber, who would it have been? The answers were very interesting. I'll sort of leave that teaser at that. Have you seen the Peyton Place promo?
Yes.
Peyton and Russell Wilson doing the batting practice that we saw.
Yes. I'm happy that we finally get to see what they were doing and why they showed up. Because obviously they didn't just show up for batting practice before a game one day for fun. Of course it had to be for content. I loved everyone's performance. I thought it was a hilarious little video. I am so proud of Bud Black for being such a great actor. I had no idea he had it in him. He was so good.
Yeah, he was. I thought I was going to ask you that. Like who had the best acting? I actually thought Buddy was number one.
He was so good. I was not expecting him to take some time to do a bit for their video. I love it.
Vinny Castillo was in there for a second. Mm-hmm. Drew Goodman as well, our good buddy there. That was great to see him. And Russell Wilson, just, you know, his typical let's ride energy was there. It was good. His acting was fine. Peyton was great too. Peyton, we know, has the acting chops.
Well, I always say Peyton Manning is my favorite comedian. Russell Wilson is a natural actor or natural performer because he is a Sagittarius. We know this. But I was not expecting this performance from Buddy. I loved it. He was so good.
He was good. He's like, well, get me Elway. Picks up the phone. There was a good little zinger in there. I don't know if you caught it where Vinny had said like, oh man, we got to be careful. You know, his head's going to get swollen after hitting that home run. And Russell Wilson, of course, says, no, that's just his forehead. It's gigantic.
So, I loved that. I loved that.
That was good. That was a good line.
I love that. It was very good. Yeah. Vinny was good too. They were great, great performances. I want to see more of that. I loved seeing, I love when the Rockies get to be part of the bit when they get some attention.
Do you know when that airs? Is it like coming up this weekend or maybe it's
available? Oh, I actually don't know. I was just so enchanted by the video that released on social media that I have no idea when we're going to see more.
Yeah. Yeah. Peyton even throws out to Russell. He said, okay, what do these five guys have in common? And the group was like Jacob DeGrom, Jock Peterson, Aaron Judge. And there's like one or two other guys, and what they have in common was they were all drafted after Russell Wilson was in the fourth round of the 2010 MLB draft. Granted, Judge, it was at a high school and he was going to college at that point, so he didn't sign. I think there was somebody else who also didn't sign because they were coming out of high school. So
wow,
maybe a misnomer, but I thought that was funny.
That's kind of crazy to wrap my head around.
And he is still, how would I phrase this? He is still, his contract is still under control by a team out there. And I'm not sure who it is right now. I think it might be the Yankees.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So at one point, Russell Wilson was selected in the Rule 5 draft, which we have coming up. And we'll talk about that here in a second. It was in the minor league phase. And I think the Rangers just wanted him to kind of come out and be like, hey, hang out with, you just won a Super Bowl. Come hang out with our players. Talk with our guys. It'll be cool. Great publicity. Okay, great. Then the Yankees, I think, acquired him in a trade just for like cash considerations. Again, to be like, okay, we want you to talk with our guys. So come in for that. And so since that, it's been kind of dormant, but I think they still kind of control his contract. Like they
no way. So if he wanted to come back, he would have to go through the Yankees.
That's it. I think we can see, might have to work out a trade with the Yankees this offseason just to get Russell Wilson back under our one roof.
Cause football's not going too well right now. Maybe he should do a little career change.
Yeah. No, I hadn't heard. Speaking of football, the 1972 Miami Dolphins. Do you know why they were celebrating yesterday, Susie? Speaking of football?
God, no. Patrick, I cannot imagine where this one's going.
Oh, you're not going to be happy with me then. Because they're celebrating because the final undefeated team in the NFL lost their game.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. But
you know what? I mean, it was kind of a shock that the Eagles were, 8-0, this far into the season anyway. So I'm not like, I'm like, okay, you know, you got to lose one. Oh, right. Well, I'm just mad that it was against the Washington football team.
Yep. The Washington football Commanders. Yeah. Yeah. But you're right. You're going to lose games. It's fine. You want to get it out of the way like now. So it doesn't.
Exactly. I don't want to be like, you know, the Patriots in, was it 2007, 2008, whenever that was, when they went 18-1 and just mm-hmm. lost the Super Bowl. I lived in New England at that time, and that was, there were a lot of unhappy people. Not me. I was fine, but.
Peyton's brother, Josh Fuentes, was the quarterback of the Giants. So I might be getting my streams crossed with Eli Manning
the star of Tom Brady's nightmares.
That's it. As we talked about, I think 4 o'clock Mountain time, we should learn the identities of the folks who will be protected on the 40-man roster for the Rockies. We talked about it yesterday. I think Grant Levine, Warming Bernabeu, Brent Doyle should be locks. Aaron Shunk, Carl Kaufman are probables. We'll sort of wait and see what happened. Some people did reach out and say, well, what's next year's group look like? Next year's group actually isn't really complicated very much. You know, and a lot of that I think has to do with the fact that the 2020 draft class was 5 guys. So that that really, you know, reduced the amount of the big names. Mm-hmm. And we'll sort of wait and see what happens this season before we really have that conversation this time next year. But Adiel Amador and Yankiel Fernandez, all-stars this past year with Fresno, you know, they're going to be locks really regardless of what happens this year. Mm-hmm. Then in the maybe category or probably category, Victor Juarez, Chris McMahon, Sam Weatherly, the two college pitchers they selected in the 2020 draft, as well as a young outfielder named Jesus Bulgarin, who was actually a Complex League all-star this past year. Jake Blomgren and reliever Blake Goldsberry are quite literally the only other two guys that will be Rule 5 eligible for the first time next year. Blake Goldsberry, really good story, went to Kansas University and is actually from Littleton, Colorado. So next year we won't really be as stressed out maybe quite as much as to who's going to be made available for another team to poach. You hope it's nobody, but you never know.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So many names.
Yeah. One name you need to know, Susie, and I know you already know it. So yeah. This is just a device to lead into an ad read.
Got it.
It's Green Mountain Dental Group. Did you
there
know that?
There we go. There we go.
Yeah, but seriously, mention either myself or Susie or DNVR Sports. It doesn't matter. They're going to hook you up with a $300 discount for a full orthodontics treatment for new patients. Also, if you mention DNVR Sports, you could get a free set of bleach trays at $350 value with a new patient cleaning, exam, and x-rays. They set me up real nice last time. I'm due for it again. I think, what is it, like every 6 months is like the tightest window perhaps that you should go. And so I'm approaching my 6 month mark. I'm very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. Your teeth have been looking great, but listen, teeth can never be too white. That's my, that's my opinion.
That's true. Yeah. And they're going to set you up to make sure that it doesn't make your teeth too sensitive because mm-hmm. that's the rap that some of them can get, but not with Green Mountain Dental Group, located only 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver. And this next partner is one that, that has a product I use literally every day. It's Athletic Greens. It makes
you
a difference.
You and I both.
That's it. Both of us. That's right. Look, positive gut health is a real thing. You might drink kombucha. You might have some ginger or ginger chews, whatever it is. I use those as well. It's all part of the balance that starts with Athletic Greens and my 75 high quality vitamins with one scoop. That's it. One scoop. I'm getting that. I'm getting whole food source superfoods, probiotics, minerals, adaptogens. It gets my day starting off the right way. And now they want to actually hook you up with a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you got to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Rockies. That's right. We have Tay hit over. You just need the name Rockies after athleticgreens.com/Rockies. They're going to hook you up with all of that and allow you to take ownership over your health and pick up that ultimate daily nutritional insurance. It's Avalanche Ale time. You know it, right? It's that classic American
love Avalanche Ale season.
So good. It's so good. Well, I think, Susie, because you like a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. right? They've got it blends that pale. Mm-hmm. It's got a little bit of the chocolate, the caramel malts. It's well-rounded. It's very flavorful. It also has these whispers of toffee sweetness.
Whispers.
It's fantastic. That's it. You can have a conversation with your Avalanche Ale.
It's a very, yes, it's complex. It's got stuff going on. I love Avalanche Ale.
That's it. It's the Garrett Hampson of beers. Well-rounded.
Oh my God.
Versatile and satisfying anytime. Although we might be saying it's the Alan Trejo of beers, because Alan Trejo might be sliding into Garrett Hampson's spot on the roster. We'll sort of wait and see what happens with that. But you don't have to wait and see where you can get your favorite Breck Brew or Avalanche Ale, because all you got to do is go to breckbrew.com to find Avalanche Ale near you.
Love it. I hope we find it at our Friendsgiving tonight.
Very true. I'm excited. It's going
to
be good.
That'll be fun. It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. I need to make my, after we do this podcast, I'm going to work on making my dish for Friendsgiving.
Excellent. You might have to put that menu online for folks too, if they want to cook at home as well. If they want to do like the fantasy, you know, like fantasy baseball, if they want to do fantasy DNVR Rockies podcast host. This is what you're doing for Thanksgiving. You're making some burek. Here's the recipe. You can do it at home and follow along.
Ooh, hold on. Quick side note before we get back to baseball. Mark in the comments found Avalanche Ale in a mix pack in California. That's amazing.
There you go. That's it. Yeah, it's, again, it's a Colorado brand with Colorado ingredients, but you can get it just about anywhere. So
yeah, well, I'm glad you found it, Mark.
Yeah. We also found out on Monday, Yasiel Puig. What the hell, dude?
I was not expecting this, but yeah, he pled guilty to lying to federal agents in an illegal gambling investigation. What the heck is going on here?
He's a wild dude. I think he was placing bets through a buddy. So like a third party was taking care of it. And then his buddy's like, hey, look, I have this account. Just log into the account as me and then make these bets. And he placed 899 bets. That's a strange number, but okay. He was betting on tennis, even football, basketball.
Very specific. Very specific number, too.
Very weird. Yeah. I think he owed the guy like $292,000. Just strange. So, yeah, like 32 years old? We will not be seeing him in MLB anytime ever.
I mean, I guess I kind of didn't think that we would see him back again at this point, but this kind of solidifies that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was already bottom of the eighth, down like 6-0, and then Daniel Bard came in, shut the door on that, and yes, we will not be seeing Yasiel Puig again.
Yasiel Puig is 31 years old. He'll be turning 32 on December 7th.
Yep.
In case you're wondering.
Man, yeah, 5 years in jail if this kind of goes down is what it looks like, allegedly.
Will says 899 bets over 90 days is a lot of gambling. That is so much gambling.
That quick math, 10 bets a day. How about that? Just under 9.9999 bets per day on that. Yeah, that's wild. He's got to get that under control. Tony La Russa thinks that Twitter needs to get itself under control. Did you know that the reason why the Twitter verification system exists, Susie, is because of Tony La Russa?
I did not know this. I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah, this was very interesting. Apparently in June 2009, in the early days of Twitter, someone created a false Tony La Russa page and made light of some previous drunken driving charges he had gotten, as well as made reference to Daryl Kyle, who we know, a former Rockies pitcher as well, but unfortunately did pass away. And so it was, again, who knows how many people thought that was legit or not. Otherwise, that was quite a loophole that in the early days of Twitter, people go, well, this seems like it would be Tony La Russa based on what they're saying. And so filed a lawsuit. And therefore, we don't have the current Twitter verification system.
I mean, right now it's
some verification system.
the previous Twitter verification system. Wow. I had no idea Tony La Russa was such a social media trailblazer. Given the fact that he is 150 years old, this is such cool news. I'll send him a DM.
Yeah, there was even, well, I don't know that he has an account now. I guess he just kind of heard through the grapevine that this
he
was
still has
on.
An account. He still has an account.
Does he have a blue check mark, green
check
mark?
Yeah, he has an account with a blue check mark, and we follow each other. He followed me first.
There you go.
I don't know how much he is actually the one who uses it. I'm sure someone helped him set up that account. Who knows?
Very true. Yeah. My favorite part is that, again, this goes back to 2009, and maybe this was just not a part of my vernacular at the time, but like the lawsuit included screenshots. I'm like, oh wow, screenshots in 2009. What a world.
What a world. It was a different, it was a much simpler time back in the early days of Twitter.
Yeah. When you could just create fake accounts for less than $8 a day, a month. So
for free. Now it costs you $8 to make a fake account.
That's it. Very true. All right. We got some ballpark updates. Nothing about Coors Field exactly. Is there anything in your travels that, and then we'll talk about these specific ballparks here in a second, mm-hmm. but Coors Field, is there anything that, you know, you've taken from other locations that you've gone to that you're like, oh, Coors Field, you know, can maybe upgrade this or just improve that. And again, we already love Coors Field yeah. and I know how much you adore it, but if you were like, but still, you know, this could be maybe like a slight improvement. Have you ever thought that at any point this year in covering the team?
You know what? I really haven't, because Coors Field really is like pretty much the standard when it comes to like having everything that you would want a ballpark to have. So, I mean, yeah, I love Coors Field so much. Yeah. And I can't think of any features right now that I've seen at other ballparks that I would be like, actually, you know what? I mean, this is one random one. Target Field has these like huge, plaque type things that list all of the different types of foods, like vegetarian, ice cream, sausages, because like it's Minnesota. But that is one feature that I wish was at every ballpark, a big map of where all the different types of food are for different, like either like cravings or dietary needs.
Yeah.
Like other than that, very niche. I know. That's it.
No, that's a great suggestion. I think that's incredibly valuable. That's why every mall has something like that as well.
It's just like a mall. And of course, like so fitting that a ballpark in the same city as Mall of America would have something so mall-like.
Perfect. Yeah, perfect. That's perfect. And actually the one thing, Susie, that you did leave off the list that I know you agree with me, it would be a Hall of Fame. That would be the only thing, but no major structural.
Oh my gosh, of course. Yes, that is the one thing that I still can't believe the Rockies don't have. It's crazy.
Yeah. Not a major structural thing to deal with, but just something you would have hoped to see somewhere. Maybe a little Hall of Fame next to the, you know, cherry kebab stand, berry kebab. Maybe. That's all. That's all we're asking for. A little Hall of Fame kiosk, a roll away Hall of Fame kiosk if you really need to. That's fine. But
that's hilarious.
Rogers Center up in Toronto, $300 million project, and it almost looks like they want to get their own rooftop. They've removed seats up in the 500 section.
Oh, wow.
There it is. It's empty. It's barren. And it looks like they want to make that somewhat of a party patio. Those are not very desirable seats. So you might as well
try to make patio. Them. Yeah, no, those are. Yep. This has given me major party deck vibes for sure.
It looks fantastic.
You know what? I'm not against it. I'm not against it. I like this ballpark in general. And I know like maybe not everyone does, but yeah, this would be a good fit for that for sure.
And that's interesting that you say that you liked it, because I feel like from everything I've seen, I probably wouldn't like it necessarily. But again, that's why you need to go to these ballparks, because you get the feel and you go, actually, you know what? I think I was wrong. And I definitely think after these renovations here and everything that they're about to put up, that could definitely tip the scale for anyone else who just thinks, it's just a dome stadium. It's whatever. There could be a little bit more going on in there. So that will be exciting to see what happens when that gets going next year, Colorado, right? Not next year, but the next season after this current one, 2024, we'll all potentially get a chance to go up there and check out the Rogers Center. Did you go to games with it open and closed?
Actually, so when I went, it was right at the end of the season. Canada had just increased the capacity at the Rogers Center, and the roof was open every night I was there. I think I was there for two or three games and the roof was open, because it wasn't like super cold out, which is kind of weird because it was very much like end of September, very beginning of October. So yeah, I actually got some roof. I got the roof open.
You get to see some of the Canadian sky. That's a good thing.
Yeah. I had so much fun. I was Canadian for like a whole week. It was the time of my life.
Love that. Yeah. The image that we were showing showed the roof open. And like that, I think gives it an extra element of like, oh, look at this beautiful ballpark. If it was closed, it might lack that pop, you know?
You know what? I feel like if you were at that party patio, if you're on that party deck and the roof was closed, I wonder if it would feel claustrophobic because you're so much closer to the top.
Very true. And also above the patio, if you look, there are like windows and you're like, are those shutters? Yeah, that's a hotel.
That's the hotel. Yeah.
That's crazy. You're right. I could see that when it's closed. Again, it's just there's that extra dimension that the blue sky adds. And so it could be claustrophobic up there in the patio. I think that's
the patio. Okay.
The party patio.
Okay.
The patio. City Field, right field, has a fence being moved in. There's only a couple renderings. Super producer Kale missed out on our rendering conversation on Monday.
I'm sure he missed it dearly.
But they're going to have like a speakeasy club in right field. Which there's only a couple images out. Here's one of them. You go, okay, cool vibe.
Okay, you know what I learned in LA? LA has a speakeasy. The Dodgers have one, and I had no idea. And you like really need to be on a list to get in because I tried to go in, and they were like, no.
Yeah, I think that could be the case. In. That could be the case for this too, because I think it is again one of their diamond clubs. You know, we need like special access and stuff, and there'll be seats behind the fence that are really close up there. So that's kind of cool. I mean, I guess if you were a fan of the Mets or a team like that that has a ballpark like that, it could be frustrating if, you know, there's always this construction and it maybe seems like the team is nickel and diamond you and changing the configurations of the outfield. But I kind of like that idea that you almost every couple of years, you don't know what you're going to see. The bullpen's in a different location. It refreshes it, right? It continues to keep it fresh. Not that, you know, you need it to be fresh all the time. I love going and seeing Coors Field looking identical every day. It's beautiful. It's baseball. But I think that could be a fun aspect for some fans to see like, oh man, okay, this used to look like that over there. And we used to be able to stand there, but now they put this fence up and they move this. That's kind of neat.
And, you know, I'm sure it's a really cool view for the people in that speakeasy. Yeah, that's fun. It's got to be, I'm sure it's a great experience.
Yeah. The renderings, what you got?
I said, I'm sure it's an expensive experience.
Ooh, yes. New York City, got to be. We kept talking about the Oakland Athletics and all of those renderings. So I thought now would be a good time to actually take a look at some of them because they really are magnificent looking.
And that's really nice looking. And it looks also like, look at that grass on the top of the ballpark.
Really
neutralize that carbon footprint.
Yes. And I think that's like a major, you know, point in that. And if you were to like pull out, you would see the rest of Oakland and it is kind of in an industrial area. So, you know, it wouldn't look as nice, but as a stadium as itself would be great. I mean, here sitting behind home plate and you've got like trees up on the roof, you know, and like right center and left center field. Again, the view of those kind of cranes that are out there in center field in the port that are lifting up all the trailers and whatnot, not great. But still, overall, you know, they look pretty good. This location in center field would be nice.
That looks really cool. I mean, I like the idea of incorporating all this greenery, especially because, you know, we kind of, you know, baseball's an outdoor sport. And sometimes it doesn't always feel like you're in nature, but this feels like you're in nature. I kind of dig this. If this comes to fruition, this would be kind of a modern marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't hear very many people talking about, you know, either with their summer plans or winter vacation, whatever it is, throwing out the city of Oakland of like, oh yeah, we were in Oakland for 3 days. It's not necessarily one of those locations. Obviously San Francisco is right there across the bay, but I think that could change that. I think that could change of like, well, I'm going to San Francisco. You know, I'm also popping over to Oakland just a little bit as well.
Yeah. You know, I think if you're going to manage to build a new stadium in Oakland, if the team's going to stay in Oakland, you kind of need to almost have a masterpiece of a ballpark to really make it that kind of destination. Cause there are so many other things to do in the Bay Area. There's so much going on in San Francisco. Oracle Park is already one of the best ballparks in baseball. So like you really need to, I think they need to do a lot more to compete with that. But I think doing that would make it work. I think fans would come back.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think baseball wants Oakland to continue to have a team. I think MLB would love for that. Again, that just then means, okay, that gets settled. Tampa, it seems like it's on the track to getting settled, although they're still some ways away. Once you do that, now everyone without a team. Again, we've run through the cities already. Portland, Vancouver, Las Vegas, Charlotte, San Antonio might be in there. Nashville, of course, Montreal. Now all of those six cities or so, when you unveil that price tag of, you know, 1.5, maybe even as high as $2 billion for an expansion team, you will get it because there's only going to be two of them at that point. So Oakland is great for that. Because again, Oakland moves to Las Vegas. Las Vegas is now out of the hunt. And oh, you know, Oakland's already out of it. So that actually takes out two possible suitors. So I really hope they do. Just also for the city. I hope the city of Oakland doesn't lose their team as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
Now, over the weekend, I think it might have even been Friday night, American Family Field. I don't know how you feel about that name. Maybe you still call it Miller Park. But
sometimes I do, yes. I do.
I was like, we'll get it right. All right, so American Family Field. They hosted the Brew City Battle. University of Wisconsin played a couple NCAA games there. And
I saw some of these, yes.
Yeah, they had a caption contest, of course, down in front with all the different sausages. There you can see the stadiums lit up. They basically have the basketball court going from third base to first base. You can see home plate in the out of bounds area. There was a little area for stands, for bleachers that kind of went beyond second base into the outfield for really good seats. I think that looked absolutely amazing. And that's something that if you've got a dome, you should be holding these kind of events during the off season.
Absolutely. Yeah, this looks so cool, but at the same time, maybe not the best view for basketball, like actually watching from the stands, but definitely a cool experience. It looks really cool, but like in terms of practicality, maybe not so much.
Yeah, it's more of an event than it is like, hey, I know I want to watch my team play. It's like, you're going to have a real awkward seat where you're going to be sitting sideways with your head turned trying to watch the court.
Big What's party also amazing, deck energy.
Yeah. It's also amazing too, like when you look at those photos, how many empty seats there are, and you're like, this is a very well supported basketball team because it was men's and women's, and yet you're like, half that place is empty. Also, half of those seats you can't see anything at all anyway, but still, it just gives you an idea just how big the ballparks we have here in America. That was cool looking.
That was really cool.
I don't know if you know about this, but the Little League Classic is scheduled to be back for 2022, 2023 and 2024, the next 2 years. And this next season, it's Nationals against the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes, let's go. I'm excited to see that.
Don't know if the Rockies will be involved in that. I was really kind of angered a bit by the fact that the Rockies continue to not, you know, get involved in a lot of these destination type events. And, you know, I guess just being in the middle of the country, it does make it hard. So it's really just a coincidence. Hey, if the Rockies happen to be in this location, so be it. They can participate. The nearest one of those destination games, of course, you would think would be Iowa, right? You say, okay, Field of Dreams game. The next 2 years, I think they're taking a break from it as that site is undergoing some serious renovations. They're putting some major youth facilities there and some hotels. They're really trying to build that up and make it
a real destination. Yeah,
absolutely. So I commend them on that project because it's gonna be amazing. So, but no game. Now you go, well, I was in my head, it seems close,
but it's not close. It's not as close to other teams that the Rockies are playing.
That's true. And for me, the reason it seems close is you go, oh, there's only one state in between it. Nebraska. That's it. You just drive through Nebraska and you're in Iowa.
But
that's
like it. All of Nebraska.
But it's
the wide part.
And really from Denver, half of Colorado and then half of Iowa as well. So that's, you know, 12 and a half hours, something like that, depending on how fast you drive. Super producer Kale drives very fast. So he's doing it in about 11 and a half hours. And it did get me thinking, all right, well, maybe the Rockies are like somewhat nearby. Well, we know both Chicago teams have already played, Cubs and White Sox, and they bring with them whoever they're playing at the time. Cool. Yankees, Reds, fine. Milwaukee is actually closer to Dyersville than Chicago, which is interesting. Minneapolis is like 4 hours away, so that's not bad. So those are two more teams that are a little bit closer. Kansas City and St. Louis, kind of manageable down there in Missouri. You could go all the way out to Pittsburgh. You could go out to Atlanta, and those places are essentially as close, if not slightly closer, to Dyersville, Iowa, than Denver, Colorado.
Wow. That is, thank you for this geography perspective.
I do like geography.
I love geography. As we know, I came in second place in my fourth grade geography B. I love geography. This is my kind of conversation.
I wonder if there's a spatial thing in our brains about like measuring distances from like east to west, west to east, like left and right, like horizontally, because we look at those distances as okay, it's sort of finite. But then when you throw in Atlanta, because Atlanta's in the southeast, mm-hmm. so now that's like a diagonal line going northwest, and you mm-hmm. go, well, wait, Atlanta would be like a million hours of a drive, so it's got to be a lot farther than Denver, and it's almost the exact same. Mm-hmm. destination. So I don't know if our brains can possibly compute something like that, Susie.
Apparently they can't. But yeah, this is very interesting. I would love to see the Rockies have some kind of destination game. I really hope that does work out at some point.
Yeah, they've had those games, you know, in Mexico City or Monterey, like in spring mm-hmm. training, which again is something, but you want it to maybe be more of a regular season game. And I know they did that in Mexico. I think that was the mm-hmm. first ever game held outside of the U.S. or Canada was a Rockies game, but long overdue for one of those really cool trips. I think that would be a lot of fun.
That would be cool.
We are going to have a lot of fun on Wednesday's show, where again, we got an NL Rookie of the Year award voter, member of the BBWA from here in Denver. I'll give you that hint.
Okay.
Coming in studio talking about the Rockies amongst all other baseball topics. So it's going to be a fun one. Follow us along on Twitter at @DNVR_Rockies. At Patrick D. Lyons is where I'm at on Twitter.
And you know, you can find me at @TheSusieHunter on all platforms.
Love that. Looking forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. This has been wonderful, but shoot, Susie, you know what they say about momentum.
What do they say?
It is only as good as your next show. So we will, of course, see you tomorrow, as we do every Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m.